حمده من صلي على رسول الكريم. هذا المفتي صاحب رحمة الله عليه and accompanied as Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Saab rahmatullahi alayhi for some tabligh program, and it was a mountainous terrain. Saab was quite young. As they reached the top, so there was some type of a shelter, and they all felt the Mullah is old and ailing, let him rest. So there were just two charpais. Charpai is like a bed, simple bed. So they left the bed for Muhammad Ilyas Saab to rest. In the meanwhile, the Mewatis got to know that Muhammad Ilyas Saab Rahmatullah Ali has arrived. So they came in hordes and crowds. So someone said, we'll get to meet him. He's just come up now with a lot of difficulty. Let him rest, and then we'll see that you meet him. Muhammad Ilyas Saab Rahmatullah Ali overheard this. He says, Muftiji, roko mat, bardasht karo, aane do. Don't stop them. Enjoy a little bit and let them come. He continued. He says, طالب کو کچھ کہنے کا حق نہیں جب تک اس کے دل میں اس قدر پیدا کرو کہ وہ آپ کی جوتی کو چپاٹی سمجھنے لگے. The one that has come, then you don't have the right to reprimand him until you have created such thirst in him that he treats your shoes as bread. He respects it as he would respect bread. So what I understood is people are, they don't have the understanding of deen. Right? The true understanding they don't have. And it may take time for them to understand deen. When it's going to take time for them to understand deen, then you have to take them gracefully. أَنْزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. You treat people according to their levels. So, sometimes you don't have an authority in a place. No authority, but you see some wrong taking place. Then too you're supposed to be correcting it, but mildly. Because you don't have authority, they don't treat you, they don't hold you in that respect. But now you see a wrong, you can't condone the wrong, you have to condemn the wrong. But now how do you go about condemning the wrong? So to avoid any fight and any altercation, then mildly. Like you say, for example, فون کو بند کرنا اچھا ہے. The switch off the phones is good. That's a mild tone, right? And the other one is, hey, what's wrong with you? You know this house of Allah Ta'ala, you're disrupting the peace of the environment. So that's a little bit of a hard tone. So you are allowed to use the hard tone. When you have got some authority over the situation and people look at you with that level of respect. But now you don't have authority, right? You're in a haram sharif now, right? And now everybody will treat you as an equal. They won't treat you as a Mawlana or someone senior. So they start shouting them, well, go do your work, let us know. So you have to correct it, but now how do you correct it? Right? So you have to correct how. So that's the need for us sitting in the company of the elders. Sometimes you have got some control over the situation. There you use a little bit of more authoritative tone. You don't have complete control. For example, now you are a senior in a masjid, so you have some authority, some respect. There, a little bit more firmness. And some you have a complete control, full control. Now, there you don't have control and you use a little firmness, it won't be wrong, right? But you must be able to endure the repercussion. Anything that comes your way against you after that, must be able to take it. If you don't have the heart to take it, then you play it gashly. Why? Not because it's wrong, but you don't have the level of endurance to take the repercussion. Right? Taking the repercussion means, if you use one blow, then you just take it casually, you don't take it serious. But now, if he gives you one blow or shouts you, you want to fight back, that means you're not yet in that position. So you don't use that approach. Use a mild approach. Because you know that you don't have that level of authority. If you have good authority, people respect you, and then not to use your authority, then it's wrong. You've got authority, they hold you in that respect, right? Mawlana Abdullah Kapodra, Rahmatullah Ali, so he was going to Hajj. And in those days, in the 40s, 50s, you're going by ship. Right? So in the ship, normally that time was the Kampala. Right? One, two ships were quite popular, Kampala. So they're moving for Hajj. So they got a place designated for namaz. It's about 40s, 50s. And in that place, someone is playing his radio a bit loud. So one Mewati was around, and he shouted. Now he's a jahil, but he shouted, "This place is for zikr and namaz. It's not for playing radios." So he had the stamina to endure the backlash. So it was all right. Miraj al-Haq Sahib, one of the most senior ustads in Dioban, he's witnessed this whole thing. So his response was, "Ye az Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, ki tarbiyat ka asar hai." This person was a jahil, but he responded and he corrected. Why? He's affected and he's influenced by Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. He doesn't know the details of the masla, but he's got a little bit of understanding. He's got the flavor of deen. And he understands that this is not in keeping with the original flavor. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi, says, horse is suno. Listen attentively, right? So when it's something serious, then just speak like horse is suno. Listen attentively. So he says, your deen and the prosperity of your deen is proportionate to the respect of your elders. Right? The prosperity of your deen is proportionate to the respect that you have of your elders. Elders means your deeni elders, deeni authorities. People are viewed as authorities in deen, but now you hold them in that level of respect. See, that's why the hadith says that Allah likes three things. Three things that He loves. One is Tawheed, to hold on to the Shahadat, to hold on firmly to the Ibadah of Allah Ta'ala and not go into polytheism and any type of shirk. So this is what Allah likes. One of the things that He likes. The second thing, وَأَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. you hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala all together and don't be divided. Right? So when you say hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala all together, what you mean? So the rope will have two ends. One end is reaching up to the sky. When you all hold on to the rope, then it will connect you to Allah Ta'ala. But if all Muslims hold on to the rope together, then they will be united. See? So the one end of the rope reaches up to Allah Ta'ala. So if you hold on, then you are reaching up to Allah Ta'ala. And the other end, Jami'a, you are all holding on together. When you are all holding on together, then it joins you. Right? The third thing is, we'll come back to the second one just now, right? Third one is this, that listen and obey your dini authorities. I'm just giving you an easy explanation, right? It's a lengthy explanation to this. Your dini authorities. So the second one, hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala all together. وَأَتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala all together, but don't be divided. Right? So now, when we say don't be divided, what do we mean? See, it's nice when we come across any verse or any hadith, then we try and work out what is the exact understanding. And if you aren't going to do that, each one is going to give his 2 cents, 5 cents, I think like this and I see it like this. And then you go off the track. Because we didn't understand it correctly, nor did we take the pains to go and understand it. Either understand it properly or take the pains to go and understand what it means. So what does it mean? That hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala altogether and don't be divided. What does it mean? So now you see every Nabi that comes in, right? Then Kuzdibat or Kuzdibat Musa or Kazdaba, right? They all rejected the Anbiya, right? So there were those who listened to them and obeyed, and those who broke away. Right? So the Anbiya came in and they showed the path that will lead you to Allah Ta'ala, to Jannah, right? And they showed the path that will take you away. So some held on to the way and some moved away. Right? So the simple question is, who is the person that caused the division? The one that held on to the way of the Anbiya or the one that broke away from that? The one that broke away. So that means the one is holding on, then he is not the person to cause the division. The one that broke away, he is the one that brought about the division. Right? When the kuffar or the Quraysh used to complain about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one of the complaints was that he's created a division in our community. So who's created the division? They created a division. It's not the Nabi. The Nabi will join. He won't break. But you broke away from the way of Allah Ta'ala, then you are the one that has deserted. You are the one that broke away. Right? So this is what will happen all the time. And this point has to be understood very well. You see, every constitution, every country, every constitution must be respected, isn't it? Constitution of this country. So there will be those who will abide by the constitution, and there will be those that break away. Right? So those that break away, right, they will be tried in court that you broke away. Right? So it was his right and he robbed him of his right. Right? So the one that was robbed, he takes him to court. Why? To secure his right. My right and he robbed me of my right. So therefore he takes him to court. Right? Now, if the court has this attitude, it says, people are always fighting, get away from me, you know, eating my brains. You can't stop fighting. So, will there be justice prevailing in that country? No. And what will be said? Who broke away? Who broke away? The one that broke away from the constitution. The one that held on, that you don't say that he has created the division, you won't say that he's fighting. The one that broke away from the constitution, then he is the one that broke. He is the one that divided. Right? Now, the weakness of the understanding, it results in you saying, you know, ulama are fighting, this one is fighting, the one is fighting. Right? But now, did you take out the pay time to find out who's creating the fight? Why is it important for you? So that you're not on the wrong lane. See, one is going on the right lane, the lane of the Anbiya, and one is going on the wrong lane. So now, first you must discover what is the right lane, and then move on. Right? But now, see, we're doing some researching, right? How these things work, right? So, now, this is now, what I'm saying, is what the West is saying, right? From their papers, from their reports, from their books, right? The people that are instigating this is their reports, right? They're stirring this up. So, the one that is going to hold to Deen, will give one of five titles. Traditionalist, extremist, fundamentalist, terrorist, right? And there's one more name. So you get this type of a name if you hold on. You're wearing a kurta, right? Using a miswak, right? You're putting on a turban. You're not mixing freely with girls. So he's traditionalist. He's fundamentalist. He's an extremist. Right? So this is the label that you will get if you hold on, right? And this is nothing new, right? See, when Lut alayhi salam, when he preached to his people, so they also said the same thing. أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسُ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ See, the people, they were saying that those that are against LG, right, those that are against LG, take them out, drive them out, because they are fundamentalists, purists, fundamentalists. So, who was given this label first? Lut alayhi salam and his people, أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. So they were given the same type of a title. Asma radiyallahu anha, she was given a title, right? Zin Nitaqin. So she said, Zin Nitaqin. Now someone tried to insult her by saying, Zin Nitaqin. Nitaq, why she was given the title is on the journey for the hijrah to Medina Munawwara, Asma radiyallahu anha, she had torn her cloth of hers, right, into two pieces, and allowed one piece to be fastened on the provisions for the road, the patkos they had, so it had to be tied. So she tore her cloth, made it to two pieces, right, so therefore she was called Zin Nitaqin. So if someone tried to insult, he said, that's a very good insult, because that cloth of mine was used for the provision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you are insulting, then I'll embrace that insult. So if someone insults you for being fundamentalist, or terrorist, or whatever else, right? Then we embrace it. Jazakallah. Thank you. At least I'm on the right. You've endorsed it. You know, al-haqqu ma yaqulu bihi al-a'da. What is the truth is even your enemies attest to it. You know, he's a fundamentalist. He's a traditionalist. He's an extremist. They're also saying it. Then, mashallah, very good. So one group went on this side, and the other group said, "Hey, we don't want to get into trouble and all that. So let's remain quiet." They were on the other side. this view they stood on, irrespective, right? When I was looking at the tafsir, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ Fear Allah Ta'ala as you ought to fear Him. Right? And I say it's just right to look at what the ulama say. Don't, please, for Allah's sake, don't give your true selves. See what they say. So the popular explanation of this ayat, fear Him as you ought to fear Him, is لَا يَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ Right? He doesn't fear anybody when it's a matter relating to the rights of Allah Ta'ala, then you're not concerned. You say it. So, when you say, if you're not concerned, when it's a matter relating to Allah Ta'ala, even it goes against your own self. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ Even if it's going against your own interest, then do you sing it. And the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum, we're like that, right? If I remember correctly, Amr ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, right? It's a battle now. And he says that there was an ordinary foot soldier, very ordinary, simple person. And he saw one Roman, right? And he's fighting very well. He's just moving and he's just mowing people down. He's going and he's mowing people down. In the meanwhile, he had a golden plated sword. His armament was all golden plated. Then the saddlery was golden plated. Right? Right? So you can imagine now how expensive that must have been. Because when I'm trying to work the equivalent, 1 gram of gold, I think, is not less than 300 rands. Huh? Right. So all this thing is plated in gold. You can imagine what he must have got. So he's just wiping people out. So this simple person, what he did, he went from behind, he hid behind a rock. And he saw this person here, marked him. And when he marked him, he let him have it, one stroke. When he caught him back on the neck. This person turned around and he pressed him. He pressed the Sahabi, Abu Qatada, I think it was, right? He says, وَجَدْتُ مِنْهُ رِيحَ الْمَوْتِ He pressed me so hard, I thought I'm going to die. But that person just fell and he died. That person, he fell and died. Someone was telling me about this Kruger National Park, right? So, sometimes they have to dart that animal, you know? It's an animal. They dart it, sometimes to kill it, sometimes to make it unconscious. So, the person from close proximity, he darted an elephant. And he thought that thing was going to die maybe after 5 minutes or something. That thing collapsed straight away on him. He died, finished. In Farsi they say, Yak Nashud Doshud. Yak Nashud Doshud. Too violent away. So anyway, all this happened. And all this happened now, this Ofir Malik Asjari. So he says to the commander of the army, was Khalid ibn Walid. He says to Khalid that man qatala qatilan falahu salabu. The law is, if you kill the person, right, then whatever is on him, the saddlery, the horse, the equipment that he's got, everything belongs to the person that has killed him. So Ofir ibn Malik to Khalid, and Khalid the young says, no, I think what I've done is right. So he said, see Khalid, mark my words, I'll report you to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, he brought it to the attention of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is what happened. So Khalid acknowledged that it happened. And istaksartu, I thought it was too much, you know, so much, one person is getting too much. Therefore, I thought put into the general booty, you know, spoils, put it there, let everybody have a share. So Rasulullah asked Khalid, no, give it to that person. Give it to him. Now Awf ibn Malik is saying, see, Khalid, I told you, I'll fix you up, I'll report you. Now Nabi Sam turned around and asked what happened. So the whole story was given. When the whole story was given, now Nabi Sam was not happy. He says, هل أنتم تاركو لي أمرائي؟ Won't you spare my أمير for my sake? My spare لكم صفوة أمورهم وعليم قدرتهم. The matters that are absolutely clear is to your advantage. And if something is not clear, then it falls onto their shoulders, not onto you. Can't you just leave them? And then he says to Khalid, now don't give it. All right. Well, there's two points that I want to make here. One is the Ahnaf, what we say, that من قتل قتيلا فله سلبه, whoever kills, right, that he gets the spoil of that person, right? But that's left is subject to the Amir making this announcement. It's left to his discretion, right? If the Amir made this type of announcement, then he'll be eligible. But not, then he won't. But now the second point I want to make, that I ask you, who got the reprimand here? Auf ibn Malik. And he's reporting the hadith. He got reprimanded, right? And we'll quote from a sheikh, you know, my husband already told me, you know, you're the buzuk of the time. But this side, this one, yeah, we won't talk. But when I marvel, I see a sahabah kiram, you know, it's a level of their own. So he caught it, but he reports the whole thing. From A to Z, he reports the whole thing. That means the level of amanat was very high. You know, the trust and honesty that ballighu anni, right? Whatever I pass on to you, you pass on. So the level of trust and honesty was too great in him. Right? He may have had a mistake in the whole the decision in deciding, right? But can you see the level of honesty they had? Now, can you compare yourself to them? So that's why he says that your deen is subject to the level of respect that you show to your elders, deen authorities. Al-Shaykh is saying this, and it's the same words, approximately the same words, Tamir Sabram is saying also the same thing. The goodness of your deen is proportionate to your respect of your elders. Means your deen elders, your deen authorities. Right? Then he goes on to say, he says, even if there were differences, like the differences with Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, right, then we don't make it an issue. Because to us it must be like this, is your grandfather, he shouted your father, right? So because of him shouting your father, will you lose respect for your father? Will you lose respect for your grandfather? You would say, all right, the grandfather has a right to say his father, your father, what he wants. The donkey can't think. So the grandfather has got the right to say. But we are children, right? We can't say these words. So if Ali and Muawiyah, they are a difference. One is the grandfather, one is the father. If he said something, then he's got a right to say it. Right? Right? And really, when you look at the Sahaba Kiram's life, right? So one is you get the Anbiya. Anbiya are faultless. They don't have any sin. So where the Quran Sharif reports some error of theirs, that's an error in discretion. Right? The error in discretion, for us, it's a reward. Right? Man ijtahada fa asaba fa lahu ajran. You made an error in your discretion, right? So it wasn't because of prejudice, it wasn't because of emotions, it wasn't because of sensual pleasure, right? So you thought about the whole thing, and you blundered, right? You made a mistake. So still you got one reward. You got it right, two rewards. But now this is not for everybody. It's for the person who's got that level of understanding in deen that he can use his discretion. It's not a license that everybody was going to use the discretion, right? Because if everybody uses the discretion, they make mistakes. And heavy mistakes, not light mistakes. So one Arab now, he's made a dawah, right? And he's got a mixed sitting. Women, men, some enjoying themselves, joking, clapping, all that, right? So they asked him, but hey, what is this? Now, he's an Arab, so he knows the language properly, back and forth, he knows it, right? Just to say, the Quran Sharif allows this. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا. The literal translation is, it's not a sin if you eat singly or you sit together. But you sit separately or you sit together, it's no sin. You see that? Quran is saying that separately or together is no guna. Now she is translating the Quran Sharif, right? Now, there's a need for the ulama kiram to go and see these things properly. Understand it, see it. So how this thing came about, like this. So it was a customary thing in the Arabs that they would find it very difficult to eat alone. Right? Very difficult. So they must have someone, second person, like Mullah Junaid, can't be alone. I have 10 people, 20 people, then you feel nice. So there was an Arab custom, right? They can't eat alone. So the eating alone, they find it like, hey, you're doing it wrong, you know. Must call someone. They would feel. So the Quran Sharif outlined and told them, see, it's not a wrong if you eat alone, separately, or you eat together, right? So that's what he meant. And how he misconstrued it, that you integrate, let everybody sit together, it's alright. But you see this. So that's why I say, even ulama-i kiram, they're not supposed to make their own discussion. Understand the context, where it came, how it came, how it was. If we just use it, it's not right. And sometimes it's not fair to the akabir also, when you just use them randomly. Now, you can say, our elders went into political meetings, right? Yes. They went. But now look at the whole style. Look at the whole style. Hazrat Mawla Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullah alayh, he's gone to Sylhet upon the instruction of his ustad, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayh, so go and teach there. In the meanwhile, now Deoband needs a teacher to teach hadith. Because after the Shaykh al-Islam, Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh became the Sadr al-Mudarrisin and the teacher in Hadith. Main teacher in Hadith he became. But Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, for some reason, he had gone to Dabil. So now, who's going to fill that vacuum? But he's teaching there in Sylhet. And he was appointed by who? His Ustad. As Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. He said, no, never. My Ustad appointed me to be here. I am not going to leave this place. So, the principal at that time was Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, that is our Qari Tayyib Sahib's father. Right. So, he used this, he pressed this button. He said, see, you don't want to come here, right? And you are the only person that everybody agrees upon. Right? So you need that type of a personality that everybody is agreed on. Right? And you're not going to come here. And if this madrasa collapses on the day of Qiyamah, I'll complain to Allah Ta'ala that the madrasa was about collapsing, you were around, but you just refused to come. So he cried, he said, I got no answer for this. So under duress, he went and accepted this. Right. Now, came to Deoband, so they had a big jalsa. Deoband, now it's a big occasion to have a jalsa. So now this is Jalsa of Sadarat. He's going to be appointed as a Sadr al-Mudarrisin and the Sheikh al-Hadith. So they had to have to speak. He says, you see, for a person to be made motivated, there can be one of three reasons. For a person to be motivated, to be driven, you know, to accept something. One is because you're aspiring for an aspiration. I want to get this perks. That well, I'm going to get all these things here. So I aspire for that, and I will go and grab that thing. It's an opportunity, right? So he says, what can Deoband offer me for me to aspire for this post? What can they offer me? Most they'll offer is about 30 rupees a month, right? That's what. And the English government, right, they offered me 50,000. 50,000 rupees that time, 1935, right? Now it's 2025, right? So it's about 90 years. Right? So that 50,000 then would be nothing less than 50 million now. Right? And all I was told is I mustn't, your only duty is you mustn't speak out against the English and we'll give you everything. We have a free motor car, no duties, and we'll give you 50,000 every year. So this carrot that they dangled before me, then that didn't move me. Now those that are participating in politics today, are they moved by the carrot that is being dangled? Ask yourself. But can we ourselves compare ourselves to their participation in politics? The Shaykh al-Islam is given a big title in the political circle. You know, you get a prime minister or something. He says, "Ye hamare khandani riwayat ke khilaf hai." He threw it. He says, "No, this is against our traditional reports. We didn't go for titles nor for money." See that? So can we say now they went into politics, so therefore we're going? We're going for some other thing. The carrot is being dangled and it's too juicy, it's too attractive. And here, it's not for that reason. For some other thing we're going. The Shaykh al-Islam, look at his style. In politics, they call it, this the word, party chip, right? So whatever the party is talking about, then you must support it. No, party whoop. What? Party whoop. So he just sounds the whoop, and everybody, all the sheep, will just agree, right? Now, throughout, for valid reasons, he was not for the formation of Pakistan. It's a lengthy topic now. But now, when Pakistan was formed, then what was his word? See, it takes a lion's heart and it takes a genius of a genius to understand this man here. An ordinary person can't appreciate. A great, great, great wali will understand him. Not an ordinary wali, it's a great wali. He says, see, we had a difference of the erecting of a masjid, right? It must be here or it must be there. Some felt it must be here. Some felt it's more conducive to have it here. But now that the masjid is built, now it's everybody's duty to respect it. Can you see that? And he supported Pakistan after that. After that, he supported Pakistan. Right? He had to support India, but he supported. If he was a politician, I ask you, would he have that type of an attitude? He supported it because it's Muslim interest. And you support India because 3/4 of the Muslim population is here. If he hadn't supported them, what would have happened to us? 1930s now, what would have happened? So he had to support that and he had to support this. Now that was Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullahi. Now we don't understand the persons now, even to politics. It's very, very unfair. Very, very unfair to say this type, make this type of statements. We didn't understand the person and we make him feel like, when you say politics today, so you say this politics here, someone uses the word, what do they mean? Some corruption, isn't it? So when we're saying politics and talking about them, then this is what we're alluding. So how important it is to understand these people here and understand them in the correct perspective. So pull it out of its perspective and it can make a big mess up. So I see these differences always occurred, but it's how do we manage, how do we handle this, how do we work with this? Overall, Islam advocates kindness and generating love. Any situation, try and see how you can generate love. You can make things happen. So that's the true flavor of Islam. One is the bookwork. And one is sibghat Allah to get the true flavor. The flavor is something else, and the bookwork is something else. Getting the book doesn't mean you have acquired the flavor. Flavor is something totally different. You got a book, you are making biryani, right? Can you acquire exact taste, biryani taste? You can't. Simple thing like biryani now, such a simple thing, the taste will last about 10 minutes and finish. Right? And here is a lifelong thing. How are you going to get the true flavor of Islam just by reading the book here and there, right? So you have to make some type of a corresponding effort to get the true flavor. Right? So the true flavor is different. So the flavor of Islam is the flavor of kindness and generating muhabbat. Now how do we go about doing that? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's story is quite popular, right? So there's two stories about him. One story is someone is hurling abuse at Abu Bakr and he's quiet. But the moment he said something, Rasulullah got up and went away. So as long as you were silent, then the malaika were there supporting and shielding you. But the moment you spoke, then the malaika went away. So what's the need of me sitting here? Right. Now look at the second story of Abu Bakr. So someone is reprimanding him, telling him something. So Abu Bakr cuts it off. How he cuts it off? With such nobility and respect. See, he's acquired now the flavor. When he acquired the flavor now, now it's a different situation now. Now he says, it's one of two situations. Either I am right, or you are right. If I am right, may Allah forgive you. And if you are right, may Allah forgive me. Now, is there any way to take this thing further? One of two situations, I am right, or you are right. But see, I cut it off. So, that is Islam, how to patch, how to make it work. But don't abuse these elders. See, hold them in that esteem and respect. Your deen will be safe. But the moment you heard abuse, then you go on. Allama Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, he quotes Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. So, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi saying that I saw Hazrat Muawiyah and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu as though it's the day of Qiyamah. I come to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, so he says, Alhamdulillah, qad ghufira li. No, qad qada li. Qad qadallahu li. Allah has decided my favor. Then I come across Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, so he says, ghufira li. Alhamdulillah. Allah has forgiven. Now can you raise any type of a brow against any of them? Allah has passed judgment in his favor, but has forgiven this person here, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Now both are flying, both our elders. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi is a very firm person, very strong person, right? But he would say that even the dust that goes in the hoof of the horse of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, if that is on my head, I'll consider it to be my salvation. I'll consider that to be my salvation. So they understood. What they understood was hold on to the ways of your elders. The style, the respect, etc. You will hold on to that. In the class now, normally in the Dora class, people are asking more questions, right? So someone asks now, what is this now? You know, Akabir ka tariqa, self ka tariqa, self ka tariqa. What is this? You can understand now the atmosphere. So I told him this has been from the time of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. He also is quoting Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi. There is about two generations above him. He's Akabir, right? He's quoting Abdullah ibn Mubarak. It's about one generation above him, right? He's quoting Sufyan Thawri. It's one generation above him. So if we quote the Akabir that are one, two generations above us, is there anything different? He says very clearly, نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا. Now Bukhari says, he's quoting someone else, وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا. We follow our Akabir, and our successors will follow us. So same, what we've been doing, we're doing the same. Is there anything different now? So they understood this very well. That we follow this way here, so long as they are on the Sunnah. They're on the Sunnah, they're on the straight, we'll follow them. And if they move away, then how does anybody expect us to follow someone who's moved away? See, it was even the progeny of the pious, right? So they moved away. Then Allah Pak said, Innahu laysa min ahlik. Innahu laysa min ahlik. Progeny of the pious. That is not your household. And this is now also an endorsement for Aisha radiallahu anha, right? In Badr, Allah Pak says, is ghadawta min ahlik. And the household that Nabi Sallam left that morning was the household of her Aisha. And Allah Pak says, is ghadawta min ahlik. And here he says, innahu laysa min ahlik. That was like a great, great endorsement for the integrity and respect of her. Aisha is now, is ghadawta min ahlik. See? That she is the ahl of the Nabi. She is the household. And here, laysa min ahlik. Can you see that? Isn't that a great endorsement? So we're coming to this. You see, Islam is not about pick and choose, select what you want. No, no. Understand and then carry on. Understand it properly and then carry on. So I said there's one that became the fundamentalist. One said, hey, leave all these things here. And the third party, that's the dangerous party. So the third party, what he's saying, I don't want to be branded as a fundamentalist, an extremist, right? And together with that, I want to be assimilating, mixing up, talking to people, all that. So I'd rather be called a modernist, right? But now when you say modernist, so there's several words they've got for modernist. One, they've got modernist. It's all coined by the same group. One is modernist. One is moderate Islam, what? You're following Islam, but Islam, moderate Islam. But all these words, they have coined these words. Now what do you mean by moderate Islam? So we have to go and check their words in their vocabs, you know, in their books, what they are referring to when they say a moderate Islam. So a moderate Islam means, according to them, right? According to them, moderate Islam means Islam that is sanctioned by the state, what? A state-sanctioned Islam, that is called a moderate Islam. So that means, effectively, if the state is Satanism, then Shaitan must approve your Islam. Simple words. And if you go look at their lives, there's hardly any difference between them and Shaitan. Right? Hardly any difference. Same, that same style, permissive, illicit, all these things will exist in their culture, right? So it's like a shaitanic thing, right? So Islam was now, Shaitan must approve and endorse your Islam. Who? Shaitan. Shaitan said, do this, that's your Islam. Don't do this, that's going to be your Islam. Right? So now you got this group here that's called the modernists, liberals. You've got three different names, modernist, liberal, modernist. These are three different names about. So now, you're doing, why are you doing it? Just to appease and curry favor with this crowd, right? With this leading crowd. You want them to look at you, you know, positively, not negatively. So you have to appease them, to curry favor with them, right? To get this. So now that is like how it is, right? You're getting married to a woman, right? A beautiful woman, but to get the applause of your friends, to get the praise of your friends, you must admire her, and they admire her, and then that will bring you satisfaction. So is that making sense? It works with them. They've got a free, illicit culture. It works with them. But does it work with us? But now just look at it, that Shaitan must improve on your Islam for it to be running. If they don't approve, then it's not running, not on, right? So then, now, different countries, right, will have then different Islam. You've got an American Islam here, you have European Islam there, African Islam here, Russian Islam there, right? But all of them will talk about one thing, what? The thing they talk about is liberate. Don't be radical. Radical means you're strict. That's the is still out. Radical means you're strict. So don't be a radical. So now, to appease them, is it right for you to, in order to appease them, to go on this lane? Is it the right thing? Then you will become even more strong. Even more firm. Even more firm. Right? One Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he had some type of security, right, when Islam was being suppressed, right? And when he was being suppressed, so he had some security from some of the hierarchies of Makkah Mukarramah in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he gave up his security. When he gave up his security, someone busted his eyes, right? So someone told him that, see, now you gave up your security, and now what happened to you? Now your one eye, you lost it. He says, what he says in return, that my other eye is more in need for the same type of a treatment. See that? So that didn't weaken him, it made him even stronger. That what happened to this eye, the other eye is also in need of that. So it didn't make him any weaker or any stronger. So this is what Ashidda'u al-Kufar Ruhama'u Bainahum. Ashidda'u al-Kufar Ruhama'u Bainahum. With the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, they are strict. Between them, they are loving. Loving, caring, but within their ranks. Right? And out of their ranks, you keep a distance. La yataraya narahuma. Right? Man jama'a al-mushrik, fahuwa minhum. What it means? There's three explanations. You're living with them, right? Living with them. That's one explanation. The second explanation is you're living in the same house. Mushrik is living there and you are living there. But the third explanation, most of ulama are going for the third explanation. They say you want to imitate their ways, you like their friendship, you like their styles, you like their fashions, right? Their thinking. Then eventually you come off them. So Allah Pak wants you, la yataraya narahuma. If your fire is burning here, then he mustn't be able to see your fire. I mean, it's such a distinct, you are so distinct that you can make out that this is a Muslim settlement and this is a non-Muslim settlement. Obviously, in a situation where you can manage, right? Then you see that your colony or the people around are all Muslims. The reason is obvious. The reason is now that you got your safety. How you got it? When Jamaat, when Dukhanka, going to listen and bayan, right? Now what about your wife and your children? Have they got a conducive surrounding that will influence them correctly, right? They've got any type of people now they're playing with, right? All types of people that they're playing with and they're mixing up with, right? What's going to happen to them? Right? Now, a few weeks back, right, one young child, about 4 years, 5 years of age, all becoming now liberalists. See? So if one person must do it, everyone must do it. So the whole fashion now is keep foot. I don't even like even girls riding bicycles. Really. It's something to do with masculinism, and a man must be distinct from a woman. Why do we discourage women to ride horses? It's for the same reason. That when you're riding horses, there must be elegant, proud, show out, right? Tight clothing, all that. You must show all that. Now, is that the place of a Muslim woman? No. And a bicycle, what it looks like. So you need to understand these things here. That what looks more masculine, what looks more feminine. And feminine, let them be on that style. Masculine, let them be on that style. So when they're feminine now, they stay at home. And the ethos are right. Karna fi buyutikun, they like that home. Is ghadawta min ahlik, your household. See that. See what Tukranji is speaking about. So their place is the home. Hazihi summa luzumul husr, right? See that. Now this is a tail end now, right? All of this thing here, you will begin to take a liking for them first. When you took a liking, then you imitate their ways. So now if they're playing pedal, you're going to play pedal. They're doing some type of a culture, you'll follow the culture. Or this child, 4.5 years of age, that child is telling his mother, Ma, you know, 1 year of age, they're playing pedal, they're versing each other. After the game, they kiss each other on the lips. Now if it was normal behavior, this child wouldn't have reported this to the mother. They shook hands, right? Went away. With a child, but now this was absolutely abnormal behavior. So this young child picked it up that this is abnormal behavior, and that he went to complain to its mother, how can they behave like this? But you see, you come out of the home, the comfort, right? You like these people there because they're running around, so you must run around. Then you want to imitate their ways. Then after that, there's the possibilities you become like them, LGs. And then, die like them. That's it. Allah Akbar.